Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising. Welcome. We're here live with Dr. Debbie Green. And go right ahead with our host. And, of course, if you want to join us live on Facebook, we're on the Female Solution Facebook page live. And we have with us, of course, the illustrious voice of our host, Dr. Debbie Green.
Yes, yes, yes. Good morning. Good morning, Grand Rising. Grand Rising. Oh, it's just a wonderful day. I tell you what, you can choose whether you feel great, whether you feel not so great. But it's always a choice. Never take away your voice. Never take away your voice and never take away your choice to feel good. We have a great topic today. And first of all, I want to greet my wonderful host. Hello, Naima. How are you?
I am fantastic.
How are you doing today?
How are you? Yeah.
I am wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our topic for today is a topic that most people deal with in this life, more so than ever, is love. And the topic is looking for love in all the wrong places. Understanding the self-love concept, you know, that you know, that area of our lives that we want to fulfill. And looks like no matter what we do, we can't seem to get enough love. We're looking for it even as children and young adults. And it seems like every time we think we found it, something happens. Well, I'll tell you what, this wonderful thing called love is something that's totally inside of you. It's inside of you. It's not always outside. We get the validations, the praise. We get certain things from others, you know, even a mother's love, a father's love, a sister, a brother's love, a friend's love. But it's not the same. It's different. The love that you mostly need is that self-love that no matter what happens in your life, you are able to accept who and what you are. Now, that is real love. What do you think about that, Naima?
Well, you know, we were kind of talking about this the other day, the fact that
yes.
Love you feel for yourself, you learn early on your self-worth and what you learn from your parents about your worth is critical because how they treat you will determine the rest of your life how you feel about yourself. So if you are a parent raising a child, it's critical that you reaffirm their worthiness to be loved. And either had abandonment, maybe there was a divorce or a parent that wasn't there, or we had a parent that maybe had a substance issue and didn't pay us much attention, or perhaps they were very harsh in their parenting and used criticism as the way they thought to motivate us, but it really just made us feel bad. If we experienced those things and the message we got from those who were closest to us that we're unworthy of love, and that belief translate into a lifetime of trying to yourself worthy and never feeling worthy and somehow attracting confirm our fears of unworthiness. So when you see that pattern of somehow people aren't giving you the love you desire, you have to ask, am I giving it to my belief you deserve it? And if you're not really believing, you really have to get to the roots of why that happened. Why are you believing this about yourself? You're not to be loved. You're not worthy of attention. You're not worthy of time. And you're not worthy of respect. You're not worthy of being talked to nicely. Where did you get that belief? And why are you choosing people that confirm that belief in you?
Correct. You know, one of my clients I have, she, all her life, she has been taking care of others, you know, brought up into a household, a life, a family of just codependency. And so as she got older, what happened in her life, she's always ready to give, but she doesn't want to receive at all. Like she, if someone was to buy her something or try to do something for her, she's like, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to cheat. She always self-sabotages, you know, and she has not the ability to just accept what's due her, like her ability to accept the love that others want to give her because she's so thinking in her mind that, oh, I don't deserve anything. I need to give. I need to give. So that imbalance caused her a part of depression. She went into different anxieties, you know, because of the imbalance in her life, and it affected relationships as well. So that's what usually happens when there's an imbalance there.
Yes. It's interesting how some people are kind of set up to be that person that is used, you know, and I guess I have to sort of say this. When people are conditioned to believe that this is their role in life. It takes some undoing them to realize they really have a right to be just as worthy as everyone else.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we are actually descendants of an experiment in which the thought was, if you isolate people and train them that they and their kind were designed by God to simply be servants, and if you don't allow them any outside information, no reading, no contact with any other people who look like them who are not servants, if you continuously reinforce this idea, and then you raise their children to believe this and expose them only to the image of them and their kind being only servants, unworthy of any better treatment, then they will accept it and believe it and carry it out. That was the great experience of American slavery. What they didn't on and consider is the spirit of God that cannot be suppressed and will rise again under the worst suppression and brainwashing. So we're coming out of that experiment. But that is what it was, because people wanted to have someone who was conditioned to just serve and not aspire to anything else. It was an arrogance, a vanity, a someone to cater to their ego. So that's really at the foundation of what we're struggling with as a nation and in many parts of the world, the human desire to have a slave that only serves, does not value themselves. But that's contrary to the spirit of our Creator, and that's why that experiment failed. That's why we are here today, because at some point we refuse. We refuse to comply with it, and therefore we are regaining our natural abilities, our natural yearning to have the love and respect that is due all beings.
Exactly. That is so important for one to acknowledge oneself, because you lose your self-identity when you don't acknowledge who you are, and most of all, your worth. Your worth is everything, your value. All of that comes out of a self-compassion for yourself, because any other way of thinking is just that you will allow so many things in your life when you shouldn't allow it. You allow yourself to be overly vulnerable. You allow yourself to be taken for granted. You allow yourself to be injured, not just hurt, because, you know, life is one of those things that you have to make conscious choices based upon the need, the want, and desire from where you sit. Your 360-degree point of life, that means from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, require your attention always, and you should never neglect any part of you. That's so important. Absolutely.
You know, the thing that makes people, and I guess we were talking about this yesterday when we were talking about how you can be shamed into believing that you are not worthy of love. You know, things like, you know, your body size or your color or, you know, any other physical feature that you can be made to feel is defective. And if you gone through perhaps teasing or ridicule and you have experienced rejection, then you can have that internal belief that because of some feature in you, you are defective, and you have to compensate for that by overcompensating, by always being willing to depreciate yourself and lift up others and serve others and comply with others' wishes and accept others' abuse because of feeling that you must do this because you were somehow lesser than or defective. It's a belief in the own mind. It doesn't exist in reality. It's your belief about yourself. So you choose people that reflect to you what yourself. And so for a person saying, well, how come, you know, all my relationships I'm treating badly? How come in all my relationships people talk to me badly? How come they don't love me? How come they leave me? How come they leave me for someone else? Am I not good enough? I'm not pretty enough. So you keep choosing people, reflecting to you what you're feeling about yourself. That's why self-love is the first thing. Because if you love yourself, then you're going to recognize somebody's behavior is inappropriate towards you, and you're not going to keep clinging to them, hoping that they treat you better so that you can feel like, oh, I finally have earned their love. It wasn't something you earned. It's just something you share.
That's so true. That's so true. You know what I found in adolescence as I was studying is that if they ever experience different behaviors from their parents, like, for example, if a boy child has an issue with his father, like if his father put him down verbally and hurt him emotionally, you know, he starts to look at different things differently when it comes to relationships. Relationships are affected by, like you said, the upbringing, right? So if he has he becomes very angered. I noticed that when boy children are, you know, gender, if I could say, they hold the anger in more so than girls. If girls are rejected, they get really emotional. They lose a lot of their self-esteem, their value. They start even living a promiscuous life early, like in their teen years. They call it looking for love in all the wrong places. And they start to defy themselves based upon what they're giving to others than what they're receiving. You know, you love me for what I do for you. You don't love me for who I am. You know what I mean?
Right. And
so
I
think
see
this
that.
Is similar to what you were talking about when you were talking about, you know, yesterday's show, is how the shaming gets in there and causes problems.
Yes. Because if you are believing that you must earn love, and if someone treats you badly, then your thought is, oh, I'm not working hard enough, I'm not doing enough so that I can earn their love. And so you do more and more and more, and this is how people get exploited. It's
mm-hmm.
belief that you must earn the love of others, and if they are unloving toward you, your fault. So we can easily be conditioned to have this thought about ourselves early in life. And as you mentioned, the way your parents respond to you as a child is defining for you your worthiness, love, and the gender of the parent is critical as well. As you pointed out, girls become very emotional when they are unloved. And when you have a father, if he is absent, a girl child will put it as, I was not lovable enough for him to stay around. And so they're constantly looking for someone who will prove that they're worthy enough to stay around, and they will overcompensate. And they will draw someone to them who is emotionally unavailable, whether it be somebody who is already married to somebody else or already involved with somebody else or just continues to seek out other people. And they will keep trying to get that person to confirm their worthiness to be emotionally and physically available to them. And it's a failed situation. It's a lose-lose situation because, first of all, you're attracted to someone who already is emotionally unavailable as your father was, and then you keep trying to change the situation to prove to yourself that you're worthy of being loved, And the more you try, the more you give, they may use you, but they never love you. And so when you mentioned the promiscuous young women in desiring physical love will get involved in sex, which for men who are emotionally unavailable is not physical love, it's sex. It's a physical sensation. It's not an emotional attachment. And so the female in wanting that feeling of being loved is constantly frustrated that after the physical encounter, there still is no love. And it becomes a pattern. And they don't realize that that's what it is. They think, well, why am I not able to hold him? You know, why is after we did this, he's still gone? You know, because nobody's explaining to them that it was never love, and you're seeking what isn't love. You're seeking a physical expression, hoping that it's going to be love, hoping that it is love, and it, for him, it isn't love. So how do
not
we,
at
how
all.
Do we help
so it becomes a facade.
Yes. Yeah, he moves on to the next one,
yeah.
You know, and you don't matter, you know. And now you're angry and hurt and sad and you know, going to try it again with the next person who didn't love you. So how do we help women, because it's not just young women. Sometimes this is a pattern where older women are doing the same thing and they're angry. All these men are no good. No, the men are fine. They're who they are. You're attracting the ones who are going to be emotionally unavailable because of who they are, what's inside of them, for whatever training
right.
or upbringing they had. You're attracting that kind of person to you because of how you feel about yourself. So what are some signs that a person can see in themselves that might be an indication to them that they are lacking in love of self? The reason why they're attracting to them people who do not love them.
Well, first of all, if they are individuals who self-defeat, which means, for example, oh, I can't do this right. I'm always failing at this. You know, if you constantly put yourself down, then that means you have a lack of self-confidence and lack of self-love. Because, I mean, nothing is perfect, and some people try to lead a perfect life, but it's a miserable life to lead a perfect life. One must accept one's faults, weaknesses, and also strengths. So if you find yourself, constantly thinking the worst about yourself, then there's a lack of self-love there. Also, if you self-sabotage, which means that when you know you need to give yourself what you need, you don't. If someone else wants to genuinely give you love or attention, you think it's something behind it. You always think there's a motive or whatever the case is. So you don't really get to experience the truest love that a person can give because you're so afraid of being hurt. So you self-sabotage, you push away, you constantly are questioning everything.
Yeah.
So those are some of the areas that if one has those traits, those actions or behaviors, then they need to kind of really look and do some introspection of, okay, well, what am I really afraid of and what do I need? Self-compassion has to be the first go-to, which is that I need to have compassion for myself, first of all. You know, give me what I need. We find that people who are going through divorces or who have came out of divorces have had these issues. And they before they could have another healthy relationship, it would just be very beneficial that they do some self-healing before going into another relationship.
Yes. So,
otherwise, they'll self-sabotage.
Yes. So, you know, I'm wondering those people who are carrying perhaps a lot of hurt from past persons, if they are able to recognize some of these patterns of thought in themselves,
well, they should be able to. At some given point, now you do have people that live in denial, Naima, that know it's not me, it's them. You know, it's easy to, like they said, look at, I'll throw the dart the other way, then allow the dart to be thrown back at you. So if that is the case, they're living in denial, and they're like, oh, you have some individuals who have failed relationships. Like, for example, they've been married five times, six times. And you say, oh, well, this happened and that, this didn't work. This happened and this didn't work. And, okay, I mean, normally one should look at oneself when the relationships seem to always spread apart. But, again, some people just don't. They don't look, it's not me. And deep down inside, they know, but they don't really acknowledge it in front of another individual. Because remember, people don't always want people to see their weaknesses. They'd rather hide it than to, you know, talk about it.
That is true. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So self-awareness is the key. It's just, you know, to admit the truth. Look at your own truth about yourself. And this is going to be nothing but to help you, but doing introspection and working on self is one of the most difficult things in the world. But when you take the time to allow yourself to look at the areas that need healing, you would really appreciate when it's all done. It's like a splinter in a finger. You know, you look at that splinter in that finger, and it looks like it's festering, it's swelling, it's getting worse and worse every time. But when you allow someone or yourself to extract that, whatever's in there causing problems, then now you can do your healing. So that's how I look at emotional damage. We have to do damage control, because if we don't do damage control, it will consume us. At some given point in our life, whether medically, it'll make you sick. Physically, it will also, it's a leading cause to mental illness, for sure. Depression, anxiety, failed relationship. It just really doesn't benefit you to hold on to a lot of emotional, you know, baggage. And time is our best friend, not alone. We should not make it our worst enemy. Time says, when something has to go, it has to go. Because time is moving on. If we pay attention to time, time will guide us and keep us in a posture of life so that we won't fall into these pit holes of life where we feel, you know, less than, or we feel abandoned, or we feel rejected, or someone didn't do this, or someone didn't do that. See, and I call that when we have this victim mentality. Everything is done to me. All your life, everything has been done to you. So the question is, when are you going to do something about it? Not just sit in it, but when are you going to do something about it? And I'm not saying to do something to others, but strengthen your being, your mind, your spirit, your heart, so that when these things do happen, it doesn't pull the rug from underneath you, and you don't have to look for anyone else to give you the justification, the validation, or the praise to say, you are you, and that's it. Put a period right there. I am me. I am me, and it's okay. No, I'm not perfect. I think, you know, the color purple rang clear with me when I said that. Remember when Whoopi hit? She was in the back seat of the car, I think it was in the trunk or wherever she was, and she was talking to Master, and she said, I might be ugly. I may not be cute, but guess what? I'm here. I remember that scene like it was yesterday, you know? Yes. She developed that self-love. Because remember, yes, she was victimized, right? Do you remember that story, the Color Purple? She was victimized by men. All her life, she was victimized by men. And she felt she had no self-love. She allowed them to hurt her over and over and over again until it began to fester. And that's when she had to realize, you know, and with help from other people, like you said, to give her love, she had to realize it's all right to receive love, but you got to love yourself. And that's what that whole story, the whole storyline was really meant for that. It's like no matter what you go through, you always will persevere. That's what that movie meant to me. I love that movie.
Yeah. It's interesting, the responses to that movie. I went to see that movie with a friend who had a similar upbringing and being in a family that rejected her because her father was different than the father of the other children in the family. And he had been through the same kinds of abuse and had to really overcome the effects of that. And so watching that scene, it was so deeply emotional for her and realizing this is the story they're putting on the screen. I lived this. So when you are a child in a family that constantly gives you the signal that there's something wrong with you. You're the one who doesn't deserve love. You really have to find the truth about yourself within yourself. It hasn't come from the outside. It hasn't come from your family who was supposed to reinforce your lovability. You have to discover that truth yourself. And sometimes that's a lifelong journey. If you've been the one, you've been the so-called black sheep of the family, the one that everybody used as a scapegoat, the one that was sexually abused, the one that was made to be the servant that did all the house, the Cinderella that did all the house cleaning while the other sisters were able to be beautified and go to the ball. You know, if you were that one, if you were that child, you have to find God within you. You have to find the source of love within you because it didn't come from where your belief about your lovability usually comes, which is your family. So if your family is the one that made you feel unworthy, you have to discover the truth of your lovability inside yourself. And choosing men who are reinforcing your belief that you're not worthy, then that means you haven't yet found the, what is that song in George Benson? I found the greatest love of all.
Oh, yes.
Well, we've got to take a break, my dear sister, and we will be back here. You're listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, of course, as always, co-hosting here. And if you're on our switchboard and would like to add to this discussion and maybe even reflect some of your own patterns and even get some insight from our host, Dr. Debbie Green, simply press 1. If you're watching us on Facebook, just call the number flashing on the screen, 515-605-9325. And again, press 1 to speak, and we will gladly open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Handling rejection when you're in love. How do you deal with that? We'll be right back after this quick break. So just stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
I'm Naima Latif, and of course our host, Dr. Debbie Green, is on our live line. We're hearing her right now. And Dr. Debbie, we've got a caller if you'd like to take a call and get a question or comment from our listening audience. And Dr. Debbie, I'm going to open up the mic for 314-833. I believe this is our dear brother, Mark Shahid. Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum to you, my brother. Good to see you today.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, alaikum assalam to you, Naima Latif, and to you, Dr. Debbie Green. That just only means peace be unto you, and I think
yes.
that that's the best greeting that we can always greet people with, is to greet them with peace and to leave them in peace instead of, hello. Yes, hell is a low condition for a man to be in. The opposite for that is peace. Now, you know, I'm a wordologist. I'm always looking at this.
I love it.
And hello, you know, is was a term that was introduced early on in the first century. I advise people to get an etymology dictionary. The etymology dictionary actually gives you word origin, how they put things together, and they have people saying hello with a smile, you know, but they don't really realize what they're saying, you know, in that regard. Hell is the lowest condition that people can be in, but the opposite, having hell in your life, you want to have peace in your life. So it's always angel wisdom that all the servants of the Creator always greeted the people in peace, and they left them in peace, and that includes Esau, Jesus. He always greeted the disciples in peace in the Aramaic language, but he left them in peace. And so, assalamu alaikum becomes an obligation on the giver of that greeting, but it also becomes an obligation on the recipient of that to keep the peace. Now, just think about the world today as the world is today, and everybody seeing and bestowing peace upon you, that they have an obligation to keep the peace. And the word as-salam is one of the attributes of the Creator. He's the source of peace, you see. So I didn't mean to get into that, but I just thought that I would say that because it's the best way to greet. The best way to greet. Now, there's a lot of ways to, because we say, what's up? What's up?
Mm-hmm.
You say, we got what's up, and then we say, hello. What's up? What did we say? Hello, you know. There's different ways that down through age of time that people have greeted each other, and you know, African Americans, we have our own way in terms of greeting each other, but it's not necessarily the best way. It just shows that we don't have a consciousness. And this is a great topic this morning in terms of love. I mentioned I gave the framework yesterday, but didn't have enough time to go into it. Have a little bit more time today, and I think some of the things I'm going to give is going to be helpful and insightful when we look at how we should see love. You know, a lot of times people, I heard you say early on, looking for love in the wrong places, making love, all that. None of that. You can't do that. Those things, you know, because in definition. In definition is direction, but also correction. So yesterday, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he gave something very, very powerful. And I gave the framework, but I didn't have time to go into it. And I remember Marva, the educator there in Chicago, I don't know if you're familiar with her, Marva Collins. I don't know if she's still living or not, but she gave something similar. But we have to respect the ancient wisdom. See, you say we want to, you know, to love yourself. But I remember my mother used to get on us about hanging up our clothes, our coat and everything. She said, you know, she said, you won't really respect the value of your clothes and all until you have to buy them, you know. In other words, they have a value and all. And then you would take care of them, you know. So taking care of something is a part of love. But the first thing, and the song sounds so beautiful for years. Who was the author of that? It said, the greatest love of all is to love yourself. Who was that?
George Benson.
Okay, George Benson. Got a beautiful voice. And it sounded real good. But as I began to grow in knowledge, I found out that's not true. That's not true, you all. It's not true.
Okay.
Ancient wisdom is this, and follow me here. The ancient wisdom is the first, know yourself. Know yourself. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to put some meat on the bones for you. First is to know yourself. Okay? And then the second thing that you have to then respect yourself. And then you can love yourself. And then fourthly, you can be yourself. And then fifth, you can do something for yourself. Now, let's go back to knowing yourself. This is ancient wisdom. The Egyptians know thyself and know yourself. Well, to know yourself means that you have to go in terms back to the Creator who created us as human beings. Okay? So who would be better to give and define who we are as human beings other than the one that has created us? Then this is logical thinking. This is logical thinking. When we put it in perspective, then we'll see, you understand, why people can't love themselves and because they don't know themselves. But the Creator is the one that created us, and true scripture gives you your true picture of actually who you are, who you created to be. Now, that's collectively, but individually, you understand, we have an identification. See, what you all were speaking on in terms of the socialized, the acculturated self. And when I teach this in terms of young people, youth, I said there's two selves. And they looked and be one minute. I said the word know, K-N-O-W, is know now or wonder. You be wonder, but you also be wondering in life, you know, not having a clue. Very, very important to know that it's the two selves, the self that the Creator has created and the socialized, the acculturated self. And most people present the socialized, acculturated self because they don't know the self that the Creator has created. And what the real role is this. Let me say this. The real role is to try to make, and especially if you come from a dysfunctional family, where you've been socialized or the acculturation then you have to try to bring self more in accord with that self. You will never respect yourself until you really know.
I need you to hold a second because we want to grasp that point. I need you to hold that thought just one second.
Okay.
Because that's kind of where we find the challenge in defining what the Creator has said about who you are. And if you are a dysfunctional family or community situation in which they are telling you or you have accepted the idea that the Creator has said that you are defective, then you must find a way to correct that belief system. And many people are still struggling with that because that is the culture in which they were raised. Not just here in America, but many places around the world where they will be taught culturally that according to the scripture we're following, the Creator has said you are defective and people have grown up believing
You're absolutely correct, and that's why I'm going to zero in on that, because in your belief, is tied to whether you get the relief or the grief.
Absolutely.
In your belief is how you get either the relief or the grief. And those persons
One second, Brother Mark, because somebody has a question they want to ask about what you just said. And I think a lot of what you're experiencing is trying to come out of beliefs that we've been taught that there's something wrong with and believing that the Creator has condoned whatever mistreatment we have accepted. But let me go to, hold that thought for a second, Brother Mark. I'm going to open your mic just a moment, just so you don't have any background noise, but I'm going to open your mic again in a moment after we get this next question from area code 773-487. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and viewing audience and give us your question relating to this topic. Go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
487?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. This is Kuki. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Oh,
good
are you?
Morning. Grand Rising.
From Chicago.
All right.
How are you?
Okay. I just want to come in with a quote, then I have a question. You know, Chris Rock made a statement. He said, women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally, but a man has to do something to get some love.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay. Expand on that, bro. Go ahead, expand on that.
Was that women, dogs, and who else are loved unconditionally? Say that again.
Women, children, and dogs get unconditional love. We love them unconditionally. But, man, you got to do something to get some love.
So apparently a man who was not feeling unconditional love said that.
No, that is the society we're living in. You know, but I just want to make a quick statement on, you know, he's talking about know thyself. I find one of the biggest issues, if you ask a black person in America who they are or where they're from, do you know what they'll tell you? I'm a former slave. I said, really?
Okay.
And that's where we go back to. We go back to right there to slavery. And if you go back further, in year 500, we were all max. We were kings and queens and had pharaohs here in America.
Ooh.
So we've been taught, yes, we have pharaohs. There's pyramids all up and down the Mississippi River. Okay? We were kings and queens. I got a picture of a black queen. She don't look African, but she's dark-skinned, but she's very beautiful. We had kings and queens and pharaohs here in America before anybody came here. And see, this is the knowledge that we should start teaching. Don't just, well, we were brought from Africa, we slaved, and that's all you got? Give me some more than that. And so that is one of the biggest things I see our people we're suffering in. And so when we get into a situation, when a bomb is dropped, like, you know, we got this little pandemic going on or whatever the enemy got going on, when that bomb drops, you know what our people do? We start turning on each other. We start turning on each other. And that's what we're doing right now. We are turning on each other.
That's a fierce response. Yes. So, Kubi, hold that thought for a second. I'm going to ask Dr. Debbie to respond to some of the things that Brother Mark said and that you said. Because Dr. Debbie, you have talked about the whole victimization syndrome and how when you look at everything as people are doing something to me, people are hurting me. I think even as Kubi speaks about our identifying ourselves with the worst experience we've ever had as an identity, how you get stuck there, when in fact, like Mark was saying, you know, you identify yourself as an expression of the Creator, which no one can make that lesser than or unworthy of. That's the highest you can be, an expression of God. So how do we get to that point where we return to an understanding of who we are as spiritual beings and not as the body we're wearing or the color we're wearing or the place we came from? How do we help humanity and each individual person get to that? that point of identifying themselves as the soul within, the expression of the Creator, not with how someone treated them in the past or the present, so that they're perpetually holding that feeling of victimization. How do we do that?
Well, we first have to understand that fear occurs in the mind. It's in the mind. It is permeated from external stimuli, anything, places, people, things, sounds, smells, touches, whatever the case may be, because it comes and it's permeated through the sensory organs of the brain, okay, the responses. So that being said, if we went back in the 1800s, everything that was seen and heard created those types of thought patterns that then created fear. Because fear, again, is something that occurs in the mind. So when you have a hold, as a H-O-L-D, on the mind from any aspect, from regardless of how it is, then you can control the mind. But fear is the only thing that can control the mind. Anything else can't. So if a person is in fear from anything, it could be someone being afraid of heights, you know, spiders or whatever the case may be, then that's what's going to happen. So if we look at the control system of the mind when it comes to the part of slavery, it's that what was going on is that the master, as one would say it, or the person that was impermeating the minds of the people were the ones that were really in fear. And they want a mind control over those individuals because they feared those individuals. But see, it was a reverse psychology. So because we as black people don't even understand how to deal with fear, we are still walking around enslaved. Okay? Mm. Now, society tells us, oh, we must do this to get that. You know, because you got rules of the land, you got regulations, you got all of these things. But again, one's own personal freedom is one's own responsibility and obligation. But if you feel victimized to anything outside of yourself, you will always be in fear. It doesn't matter what it is. Because one creates its own fear, believe it or not. You know what I'm saying? Like you have some individuals that might have been homeless and they might have been going through all kinds of changes or whatever, and at some point something broke in them. We could take a person, for example, like Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry came from an abusive, upbringing. I mean, abusive every way you can be abused. Okay, so what he did, he made a choice. And that choice led him to homelessness because he's like, I will not be in fear any longer. He could have stayed where he was, but he made a choice because inside his mind, he was free. So he had to work through his stuff. And as he worked through his stuff, that freedom turned into an art, believe it or not. It turned into something that someone could see. You see what I'm saying? So he shifted all of that energy up there into something he believed that was something that is going to help someone, but most of all help himself because he had to create something. The only thing that removes fear is creation. Creation of more of the most powerful, positive, beneficial things of the world, and that's inside of a human being's mind. Nothing can be created unless it comes from a human being's mind because it comes from the Creator. It comes from the All-Knowing. So you can only be in fear if you want to stay in fear. And that's why self-love is one of those things that you need because if you don't have self-love, you will never create anything because you think you're not worthy. You think you're still victimized. And, you will be a slave. But not to what's outside of yourself, but to your own self.
That is powerful. You cannot create if you're in fear. And this is why, as our callers have alluded to, we are stuck in a cycle of self-depreciation, self destruction.
Perpetual.
In many
yeah, perpetual. Over the top. That's what we are.
And turn on each other in our fear. So we must create in order to get out of fear. We must create. And this is the genius of people such as Tyler Perry. The character that he created, Madea, she actually is a means for expressing a lot of the wisdom and some of the people who resisted the fear. And, you know, she's kind of a rebellious character, but in her rebelliousness, she also expresses some great wisdom and is able to help people in a humorous way. But it's his way, really, Tyler Perry's way of teaching, even through his experience of abuse. So all of us need to find a way to create and to remove the fear that we have that keeps us seeing ourselves as unworthy. So, Dr. Debbie, I know you've got to step away. We've got to take a break, and I'm going to open up the mic again to our callers. If you can stay with us until after break, you want to give us some last words of wisdom before you step away.
Absolutely, absolutely. Unconditional love is one of those things that if every human being understood the unconditional agape love, which is the love of God, for themselves, if I love myself unconditionally, and no matter what went wrong in my life or what went right or whatever I, you know, experienced, if I just embraced all of that and radically accepted, then I will not permeate any hurt or any pain outside of myself to another human being. Unfortunately, the world we live in today has not accomplished that. They did not understand the love that God gave us. They did not embrace that love mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, even physically. And because of that, they have waded away from it, which is a place of hurt and pain. Everything you see, from every murder to every unspoken word of hate or spoken word of hate, comes from a place of pain. And until society, our world, humankind, understands that love is the one that permeates everything and soothes everything and covers and removes all whatever they call the sinful nature of man, is just being the unloved. That's what sin does. It causes us to not love each other, not love ourselves, or not love, you know, things that desire our love or even give to our love. So love is the answer. It's the answer to all things. Will we ever have it? Well, the way it looks, like we are moving away from it more and more every day, every moment of the day. So one must hope and keep hope alive, because that's all we have. Is hope.
Yes. Hope, is, of course, manifests our faith that greater things
yes.
are coming because they are. Yes. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Debbie. You've got a client you've got to see now, or will you be with us after the break, or you have to step away?
I'll be there for just a few more minutes, and then I'll be stepping away about another 5 or 10 minutes if I have to go.
Okay. I'll take another short break, and we'll be right back. And I'm going to add, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will add you to this conversation, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
And we've got on our live line Dr. Debbie Green, who as always gives us so much wisdom on Thursday morning. So, Dr. Debbie, you definitely insight when it comes
yes.
how we repair what may have been broken inside of us. So, one thing that was mentioned was the fact that people can easily see themselves as unworthy. Are there some affirmations people can say to themselves to undo that conditioning?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think one should make at least 10 affirmations they need to speak verbally every day. And the first one is, I am. All of them should begin with the I am, okay? Not I shall, not the I will. No, the I am. The I am needs to be acknowledged because that is the strength, that's the power source, that's the God force that's inside of you. So, like, I am peaceful today. And you have to keep it present. So, which means don't just say I'm peaceful. No, put today on it. Because the thing about it is,
day.
You have to speak that present moment so that the universe can hear you when you are speaking. I am peaceful today. I am full of joy today. I am stronger than I was yesterday today. You know, whatever your affirmations are, they need to be relevant to your needs as well. Your needs, your wants, and desire. You know, I am loved today. I feel belonged today. I am accepted today. You know, whatever it is, you need to speak it out and declare it as a source of energy that you want to manifest. You know, when I deal with my clients and patients, I always ask them, what's your word for today? What's your word for today? What word, what phrase that you want to project out of your being? And sometimes they struggle with that word. They don't know how it is because I tell them, I say, anytime you allow fear to take your voice, you allowed it to take your choice. You can't give fear any room. I mean, we need fear to survive. Don't get me wrong. You know, fear can be healthy, but it also can be very unhealthy because fear gets into anxieties, and before we realize it, we've lost ourselves again in some type of way. So manifestation and declarations are very important to declare. I am the most powerful me today, you know? So, I mean, it's an ongoing thing. One should do this daily, just like drinking a cup of coffee or, you know, brushing your teeth. You should affirmate daily. Okay, for example, my word for the day that when I go in front and I do my group therapy, all right, here where I am here in Atlanta, I go and I ask them, I said, because I do this because I want them to know I do it as well. I'm not just asking it for them. So my word for the day is called exuberance. Everything is exuberance, which means everything is at its highest enlightenment area, regardless of what it is. Now, I don't know what the end of the day is going to bring. I have no idea as I'm driving what's going to happen or whatever, but I'm not worried about that. An optimist does not overly be concerned about what's going to happen. They just stay in preparation mode. But don't worry. Trouble will let you know when it's time. Pain will let you know when it's time. So don't put yourself in unnecessary suffering to start looking for it, you know? So that's how my mind works. My mind works like that daily. And that's what I permeate when I'm talking to someone. I ask them the same thing. What do you want to project in your day? How do you want to feel, you know, right now? You know, because if you don't know what to feel and you don't know what you want to project, then, again, you'll get into this place where your choice won't be heard by yourself, just by you, not just by anybody else in the room, but by you. Your voice will disappear because you're not projecting. Projection needs to be done daily. It needs to be done on an often basis to the point where you get real comfortable with projecting. And then that's when the healing truly starts.
When the healing starts, yes. Well, we do appreciate that understanding. The healing starts from within, and it's so critical that we control what we say about ourselves. I am is a very powerful statement, and there is a YouTube video by remember the name. It'll come to me in a moment. Mark Shahid had mentioned Marva Collins, and I sort of remembered, but I wasn't quite sure. But, you know, she was best known for creating the West Side Preparatory School, private elementary school, in the impoverished Garfield Park neighborhood of Chicago. And he was very instrumental in helping young people change their perception of themselves, known as a very disciplined educator who just would not allow young people to see themselves as lesser than. She transitioned June 24th, 2015, which, what is that, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely set a standard so that we would stop making excuses for less than excellent. We would stop making excuses. We would stop leaning on the past difficult experience. Enslavement was an experience. It is not an identity. And I agree with Goofy. You know, we need to stop saying that this is who we are. We are not ex-slaves. Because if you, in this present life, I am a free woman. So why would I identify with a traumatic experience by an ancestor as my identity? And many of us, our ancestry did not go through that identity. They came from somewhere else or were among those who were already here. If you keep going to the greatest pain that someone experienced and identifying that as your identity, then you're re-injuring yourself. You're stabbing yourself with a knife. No one's doing that to you. This, this is really the issue that we have to resolve. Individual, you're still carrying pain from something that happened, something that someone else did or said about you at a point in your life where you were very vulnerable and open to suggestion. No, I think Maika even shared a story about her experience, and I shared the same experience with Paul. And at some point, being among people who were shorter, and made you feel like there was something defective about you because of your height. So what do you do? You try to make. Look at your posture. If you're a tall person and you were shrunk, in your life made you. There was something defective about your height, then why are you trying to minimize it? So change that thought with your mind that the asset that it is. So many of us are carrying beliefs about ourselves and telling ourselves that there's something defective about ourselves, and then we find who agrees with that thought that we are defective. And we will then keep trying to change their mind so they can treat us differently. And it doesn't, they treat us differently. And I think I told this story before. I was among some full-figured women, some young women, but they really, and they were attracting men who loved them, women. So if this is who you are, you know, then don't sit there and go after the guy who loves skinny women and have him constantly tell you something wrong with your body size so that you can feel bad about yourself. Find the one who loves you, who you are, who loves all of that you got, and sees it beautiful. He affirms the wording. Often, you're dark skinned. Why are you going after people who think that lighter skin is better, and so you gotta try to wear the light makeup to change your skin tone? No, find the man who likes chocolate, you know, and loves who you are. So we must love who we are as we are. Not, well, I'll be lovable if I change this in myself that's defective, and then someone will love me. No, just as I am is perfect. All of us are divine works of art by the Creator. Everything about us is already perfect. Whatever it looks like, sounds like, everything. We are perfect as we are. We are the artwork of the Creator, and the Creator makes no junk. So love who you are. I am beautiful. Not, well, I'm going to be beautiful as soon as I get my teeth fixed. Well, I'm going to be beautiful as soon as I get my hair fixed. Well, I'm going to be beautiful as soon as I lose 20 pounds. No, I am beautiful today as I am. Dr. Debbie, other words you'd like to share? And, of course, if you're on our switchboard now, we want you to press 1 and join this conversation. We're going to open the mics for those who've pressed 1 and get their thoughts. But, Dr. Debbie, what would you a parent who maybe raising a child who may have some, you know, a physical defect, how do they keep that child from digesting the that they are doing? Even if they have a physical challenge, such as can't walk, whatever the case is.
Well, again, one must help the child to acknowledge its value first, and not just being a child to a mother or being a child to a father. Independence is extremely important. And as they help them to gain their independence, then they can then help them to acknowledge the value that they have in life. And when they acknowledge that value in life, Naima, then their relationships of who they choose to have them in, like, who they choose as friends, who they choose as companions, as they get older, who they choose as business partners.
all of those things, because life is relationships. No matter what we do, we live with people. So, I mean, all relationships are not going to be perfect. And even if it is, you know, having these problems of, you know, faultiness or dysfunction, but that doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. That means that, you know, you need to look at how you are approaching people, but most of all, look at how you are dealing with yourself and what you are attracting. And I think that's how we need to, you know, help our children to understand those areas in life, because as they continue to grow up, they're going to realize if they come from a home of a codependency, they're going to be codependent on other people. So that's just really important to start independent thinking as early, I think, as 8 years old. I think you should teach a child how to think independent so that it can make the wisest decisions as much as possible.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. We advise all parents to take that to heart and put that into practice. We've got some clients to tend to today. We've got some callers on the line. I'm going to take your calls and then take a break and then take some more calls. And we appreciate all with us today. And Dr. Debbie, give our love to all of those whose lives you are touching with your work. We appreciate you so very much.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a caller, and then we're also going to share some of our Facebook friends' comments. And we appreciate all of you who have joined us live on the Female Solution Facebook page. And, of course, grand rising to our sister, Zelda, sister of the microphone, on our Monday morning mindfulness show. She says, grand rising, beautiful cream sister. We appreciate the subject, a very appropriate subject, especially for the Internet. Thanks for your sharing your expertise. Yes, thank you, Dr. Debbie, for sharing that expertise. And Zelda says, yes, fear is for real. It will stop you dead in your tracks if you don't truly know your own self-worth. I am working on releasing the need that created the pattern from my childhood. Great topic, Dr. Debbie. Yes, absolutely. We all got that childhood thing we got to work on. And good morning to our dear sister Tasha Savage. Says good morning, Queens. Good morning to you as well. And we're going to go to our phone line. I believe we have our own Mama D on Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on the Female Solution, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. How are you today?
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers and Solutionaries, Grand Rising.
Yes.
Boy, this is a wonderful subject, because everyone is beautiful in their own way. But the problem is, you don't. If you wait until a child is past 7 years of age to start telling them about their beauty, you've missed it. I was in the store yesterday, and this little girl, she must have been about, I guess, 5-6 years old, and her mother had picked up an item, and she said, are you going to give that? Is that for me? Is that for me? Are you going to give that to whatever the name of the child was, because you love her? Is this for me? Oh, my God. I wanted to intervene so bad until I could hardly contain myself. Here she was. Is that for me? Is that for me? Cause you love. Oh, my God. Already she is aware that you love this other one. You love her. And but she just kept repeating it. Is this for me? Is this for me? she could hardly believe that her mother would be buying something just for her. And the mother pretended she didn't hear. It just went in one ear and it came out the other. But this is what we teach our children. And our self-image really comes from other people's opinion of who we are and what we are. You know, when you buy a pretty dress and your little girl has on a pretty little dress and you say, you look so pretty. But you're giving credit to the clothes and not to that child. We don't mean to do this. We just carry on the defects that our parents had. We just pass it on. And this is what you're doing. You don't mean to be giving this child, unless she's got on this new garment. She's not beautiful, but she's all dressed up. And then everybody's gathering around telling how you look pretty. But they're really saying the clothes look pretty. And she is absorbing that. I look pretty when I put on the pretty clothes. But I said, no. Oh, look at that smile. Oh, where did you get those sparkling eyes from? Always, if you possibly can, find a feature that's uniquely that child's and bring it out and put your emphasis on that and not what they have on. Because this is what we do all the time. I see it going on. But our children are absorbing at a much earlier age. This is why I love being a Montessorian and educating the subconscious brains of children under the age of 4, because that is the brain that will be with them forever, whether they realize what happened to them at that early age or not. And we have to be aware that our words have power. And she's so cute, you know. But the other little child is sitting there. Maybe she's a little plumpy, or maybe she's a little darker, or maybe her hair isn't as silky, and you're sitting there. Who's us? And she showed, like my mother said once, she said, you know, Brandy, she said, these two-year-olds, her great-great-grandchildren were over visiting her, and she said, you know, this one nephew, his little girl is so cute because, you know, she got that pretty color and she got them pretty eyes. Because, see, my mama was a yellow gal, and she was always talking about her and her sisters with the green eyes and everything, and they was a yellow gal. And so, but anyway, she said, this other one, she's cute too, but she's so black. You know, and I said, you see, and I said, oh, I read her the Riot Act, and by the time I was through with my mother, she was more militant than everything else than anybody else. She was on it. But if you don't step in when you see something like that and try to intervene, like yesterday what was happening, this little girl already had internalized the fact that she didn't have value. You know, yeah. She couldn't believe. It was, is this for me? Is this for me? Oh, my heart just sunk. Because you love, it's for so-and-so because you love her.
Wow. My God. Already family dynamics. Who gets the love? Wow. That is true. Well, Mama D, we're going to take a break, but I'm going to come back to you when we come back from the break, because there are some things that I want us to look at, as you've done, how we can undo some of those things that we have done that have hurt children unknowingly, and even how we can undo it in ourselves and in other people, how we can help undo the feelings that people have absorbed of unlovability or unworthiness because of the things that have been said to them over time and from the childhood to adulthood. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online, so hold on, Mama D, I'm going to open your mic back up when we come back. And, of course, we've got other callers online. I'm going to give you a chance to speak as well. Press 1 if you got something to say. We want to make sure we get your thoughts. But we'll be right back after this last break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And be sure to press 1 so we know that you have a thought you'd like to share. We'll be right back after this break. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda's Beat. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things seen and unseen that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts.
A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Lateef, and of course we've heard of from our Thursday host, Dr. Debbie Green. She's got a client she's got to see this morning, but of course she kicked us off with this topic on self-love and looking for love in all the wrong places and how you handle it when you are in love and someone doesn't love you. Well, if you find yourself in a pattern where you're constantly seeking approval from people who don't love you, go back to your childhood and see where the message was given to you that you were unworthy of love. So, of course, we're speaking to the wise lady of the hour, our own Mama D. Listen every fourth Saturday to Wisdom with Mama D. And Mama D, you said something that, and we're going to open up some more mics. Those of you who want to speak, please press 1. We'll certainly open your mic and get back to you. But you said something which I'm hoping that people take to heart and make a habit in the way they interact. Now, what I do whenever I go to the grocery store, the people who are working there, the cashiers, whatever, I always find some positive thing to say because they're working in service of the people. And when you serve people, you get a lot of rudeness. You know, people just throw all of their bad day off on you. So I'll find something to say kind to the cashier. As you said, a feature that is on them, not their clothes, but them. Oh, that hairstyle is so beautiful. Oh, your nails are, I love your nails. Oh, where'd you get them? Oh, this, you know, again, beautiful smile, you know, something about them. You know, as a young man sometimes, he'll be maybe bagging the groceries and he'll say something, you know, would you like me to put this in the bag? Oh, you have such a beautiful voice. Do you sing? You know, something. Say something that uplifts a person. You will feel their spirit rise when you do that. So, Mama D, how can we cultivate that habit of lifting a spirit with something positive that we say so the person knows they as a being are someone that is lovable and there's something about them that's special? How can we create that habit, especially for children, but also for adults? How do we do that?
Well, I think you hit it on the nail on the head when you said you leave. You know, I rise up in the morning and I say, you know, instead of this is a day that God has made, let us be rejoice and be glad in it. I rise up with the thought of who will you send my way this day to do your will, your way. And you said when you go into that store, you have already got a made-up heart. I'm going to say something nice to somebody in that store. So that thought is going to be manifested into your actions. Because you know what I'm saying? And I think that's how we begin to plant the seed. It's when we say, hey, look, I'm stepping out here and I'm going to say something to brighten somebody's day. I'm going to comment them, you know, compliment them on something about them, about their person, and not what they have on the outside, but something that's coming out. You know, and it's natural with some people, but like yesterday, I was just so stunned by this little child who just kept repeating it over and over again. Is this for me? You know, and I'd like to know how could, well, it wasn't too many black people in the store. It was mostly Latino. So I didn't, and it was crowded. So I knew it wasn't going to be any space to really say something to that child or something. You know, but I need to know, and if anybody out there could help, how do, should you intervene when you see something? Should you say something? Because that little child and so many adults carry that burden around with them that I wasn't light-skinned like my sister. I wasn't beautiful. Daddy always talked about how beautiful she was. And as adults, they are still carrying that burden of I'm not worthy because somebody put that on them at their subconscious brain level. They didn't wait until they were 8 or 9 years old to get that. They've already formed that opinion when you start telling them these are hands and these are your ears and this is your, right. your you know, when you start teaching them. I used to have every child that would come on, my two-year-olds, I would have them come up. Well, first of all, I wanted them to practice the three-finger grip. So when they would, a little clothespin, their little hands were so weak until they could hardly open up the clothespin. But I would have them put their name on, I'd hold up their name, they would come up, and I would have them take that little clothespin and put their name on the rope and say, I'm present. But I would put my arms around them, and I would go through self-awareness, you know, what are you wearing today? And they would say, you know, to get their colors and stuff. I've got some stripes, or I've got on yellow, or, you know, just to have the color reinforcement. But it was always something about, first of all, your name. This belongs to you. And I'm holding up this name. Why are you talking? You know, you've got to instantly show some respect here. Why are you talking? This is not your name. You know, this is not your special time.
Right. Taking turns, each gets their own special time. And, you know, that's an important thing for parents to understand how to do when they have several children is if you're going to show attention to one child, you need to also have a time where you show attention to another child. I'm going to take a couple of other calls, Mama D. Hold on. I'm going to take a few more calls and bring some other people in this conversation. You know, and as I go to air, I'm going to take it in this order, you all. 863-816 and then 773-977 and then 773-487. I'm going to come back to you. And as I open the mic for 863, just want to quickly tell the story. My husband told me about a friend of ours who has He had two daughters. One is light skin, one is dark skin. And he saw her in the store with both of the children. And you know, everybody was talking about how, you know, the two are about the same age, but everybody was just making over the little light skin child. Oh, she's so beautiful, she's so beautiful, she's so beautiful. And so he made a point to really make over the darker child. Like, oh, she's just so gorgeous, you know. And he said some of the people, because our friend had them in carriages, and so some of the people were looking into the carriage of this child. He's just making up, you know, making over so much. Oh, she's so gorgeous, so beautiful. So people would look in the carriage, and then they saw the little dark face, and they look up at him like, what? You're talking about her? You know, as if, how dare you say this about this dark child? But he wanted to make sure that he equalized what the children were saying, because he was seeing that already people were putting that thought out there, your lighter skinned daughter is beautiful, but your darker skinned one, she's not. So he wanted to make sure he corrected that and gave a lot of attention and praise to that darker child. And we have a lot of families that have different colored children that unconsciously do that and put that thought out there that, you know, the woman, this skin color is not as good as the other one. And we got to be conscious if we're doing that. Area code 863, your mic is open. Give us your name and your comments. Go right ahead.
Yes, L.A., Central Florida. From observation and I guess personal experience, whether it's a child or adult, I think I live by a rule. Rejection is God's protection. It's also God's redirection. So that's how I handle stuff like that. But rejection is God's protection. It's also God's redirection. Which means, you know, it's not working out this way, then something's better for me in another direction. But what's instantaneous, what I've observed from other people, which happens instantaneous, no matter what they look like, no matter what race they are, no matter how, if they're big, small, short, tall, fat, skinny, whatever, if once the person discovers how to place themselves or their children in an empowering environment where they are considered exotic, your life can change instantaneously. I've seen it over and over and over again. Place yourself or your child or grandchild, whatever, in an environment where they are considered exotic.
Exotic. So they'll be treated like they're special, something, you know, something special, something that is...
Exactly, and they're respected, they're admired, they're adored. I can take anybody that's listened to this podcast, I mean this live stream, no matter what they look like, no matter how much they weigh or don't weigh, no matter what skin tone, no matter what religion, there is an abundance of environments that if you place yourself in them, you will be considered exotic. And instantaneously, your life will change. The key is place yourself in an environment where you're considered exotic. I mean, whoever hasn't had a date for the last 10 or 15 years or whatever, place yourself in the right environment, you'll have to beat them off with a stick. Those are my comments.
Well, thank you, L.A. You know, that kind of makes me think of some of the friends of mine in college. We went to the University of Nebraska. Some of the larger girls, you know, they had been through the experience of being treated like they weren't as desirable. And then they met with, you know, African guys who the standard of desirability was totally different. It was a status symbol if you had a big woman because, you know, that meant you had money and all that sort of thing. So they found themselves really being sought after by these African men who love big women, and it totally transformed their self-esteem. I witnessed this with my own eyes. So, yeah, you're right. You have to you have to change your experience if you've had the negative experience of being looked at as lesser than. You have to give yourself the opposite experience because it can repair something inside of you that has been broken. I know that for a fact. Let me go to area code 773-977. Looks like this is our dear sister Lois from Chicago.
Yes, yes. Good morning. Good morning to all. God is so good to us, and we're all still here, and I just thank God for all of us. I'd like to just talk about two incidents. Right quickly. One where the mother was telling the child not to run out of the gate, and he ran out of the gate on 93rd right by South Chicago Hospital. The bus hit him and killed him.
Oh, no.
Another incident, I was in the store in Sam's Club, and there was a mother there with a baby in the basket and a little two-year-old or three-year-old running around the store. And she kept saying, get over here and sit down and stop pulling those things down. Get over here. And he just ignored her. So I walked over. I said,
Didn't your mother tell you to get over there and sit down right now? Get yourself over there and get yourself over there by your mother right now. The little boy. Sometimes if we intervene and help some of these mothers, you know, he was a very obedient child because as soon as I raised my voice and everybody in the store looked at me as if I was crazy or something. But he got over there and stood by his mother. That's all I have to say for today. God bless everyone. Love you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, Lois. Yes. And be that surrogate mother or backup grandmother or whatever. Sometimes, you know, yeah, the question was, do you intervene? Yeah. You know, find a way to be positive support for these mothers because some of them are overwhelmed. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, so I'll share a statement from our Facebook family. And Deborah, our dear sister, Deborah, on our third Saturday says, I always allow the Holy Spirit to lead my words in the appropriate time. Sometimes it is received favorably, and if not, it's okay. I completed my task. Thank you, Deborah. Such words of wisdom. Yes, it always helps to, pray for guidance before you say something, especially in a sensitive situation. You know, I've had people who received what I had to say. Maybe they reprimanded a child kind of harshly, and I might say something gentle. Sometimes they'll receive it, and sometimes they get resentful, like, mind your own business, because, you know, they get defensive, like, you know, you're trying to say I'm not a good mother. And so you really, I agree, Deborah, you have to pray for guidance so that the words can come out the right way, not offend someone. And you know, with Lois, I'm sure that mother appreciated having somebody back her up because she really needed that child to obey so they would be safe. So I'm going to open mic and kind of come back to you. Could be from Chicago or suburbs or wherever you're at. Yes. Your thoughts on how to undo negative self-esteem if people have heard negative things about themselves or if you've got children. I know you've got a son and a daughter. How do you help them identify themselves in an empowering way, like L.A. said, a way that would shield them from other people giving them a negative belief about themselves? What kind of things do you say to your daughter?
I was just talking to my daughter last night about how proud I am of her and how proud I am to be their father. And I tell them I'm blessed to be you guys' father, you know. And they get all that thing, you know. It's not that I had you, but, you know, you can't use my life, and you're making me a better person just by knowing you, you know. So thank you, you know. And then I'll ask them to pray, you know, pray for your daddy right now. Just, you know, say a prayer for your daddy. And it gives them purpose. And that's what a father or a parent is supposed to do. It's not just dictate to the child, but give that child some responsibility to guide. You know, I tell my two daughters, hey, if I can be a better father, you know, let me know. And I tell them, I said, I'm your daddy, but I'm not your father. They go, what? I said, I'm your daddy, but I'm not your father. They go, what do you mean? I said, God is your father.
That's powerful. Love that. Yeah.
I try to connect them to nature.
Yeah.
Nature is the most beautiful thing that we can view. The sun, the stars, the trees, the plants. You open up your window and, you know, you never say, oh, man, I hate snow. I love nature because that's
beautiful.
A reflection of me. Men were born from trees. We came out of trees. We're nature. So if we see ourselves as an element or nature, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter because you're part of this ecosystem. You're part of nature, and that's your purpose. So that's my thoughts.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Oh, wow. Could I just say something to that? That is so beautiful. A rose is beautiful, but a cactus is also a beautiful plant too. You know, but I wanted to share something quickly. I was at the Stand for Children March on Washington with a group of women, and this little white girl, about 6 or 7 years old, she was bamming her mother with her fist in the back. Her mother was walking, and she was hitting her. And the mother was trying to get away. It was about 3 or 4 black women, and we all took off. We took off running. We got that little, you don't hit your mother. You don't hit, you know. We just was a one mindset that we had to run and intervene as a group. And her mother was really frightened, you know. And it started to run because she was hitting her so hard in the back with her fist.
Wow.
And
you know,
we could know, not on our watch.
Yes. You know, sometimes older seasoned women do need to step forward because sometimes younger mothers, they don't always have the skills and they really don't know how to lovingly but firmly correct a child when a child gets either too aggressive or does something inappropriate. So this is what a village is all about. And in many societies, you know, when a young woman has a child, the older women will be there to help her, to guide her in the proper ways of guidance and discipline and correction. Because when you're a young mother, you don't know. And we have so many women who were young mothers who maybe didn't get the guidance, you know, and unfortunately, I've had several friends who were so upset that their young daughters got pregnant early, and they're like, she thinks she's grown, I'm putting her out of the house. Well, if you put her out of the house, who's going to teach her how to be a mother to that child? Who's going to make sure that child gets the right kind of love? You know, does that make any sense? And then when that child grows up after non-love and stress and anger and frustration from that young mother, who's going to experience the consequences? We are, the society. So whenever you see a young person acting out, it's something that happened to them, like we said in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, if someone gives you the message you're not worthy of love, you spend the rest of your life being angry about that. Like Dr. Debbie was saying, a lot of males, the way they express their hurt is through anger. So today, find a young man to say something loving to. Say something kind and reinforcing and empowering and give that young man a sense of being worthy of love. Find a young woman and say something empowering to her, not something sexual about her body, but something empowering that will make her feel worthy as a human being. Find a way to give people the love they may have missed. And your smile and your words of encouragement can truly change a life. So thank you, Mama D, for your wisdom, and we'll be looking forward to your fourth Saturday show. And we thank all of you who have participated in this discussion. And, of course, we thank you.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India,
Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And we thank you all for being a part of the Female Solutions. Continue to shine your light, and we'll see you tomorrow on Health and Well-Being with Viata. Namaste, our dear Mama Joy, and thank you all for your comments. Enjoy your day.